So yesterday I had to wear a suit. One of these days you might see me in a suit up here. Because I usually only wear one on sad occasions. I had a wedding to do. So. Just kidding. I survived my first wedding. 165 people. I didn't know any of them. Got me through there. That's even better. So, I had a thought this morning. We get to the sermon later. I don't know what time we get there. I wrote one sitting there just a while ago. God put this thing on my mind. So I was, Dodge Oak Curse Road. Y'all ever drove through there? And stuff. I do. I don't know what it is about it from Dodge to Oak Curse. And so God speaks to me a lot for some reason. I guess because I'm driving slow, windows down usually when it's pretty. So, look, it's not about religion.
Oh, no.
It's about a relationship.
Amen.
Okay? We, as especially Western society, we get hung up on religion, traditions, and nothing in themselves are wrong, but we can't miss the point of the relationship with Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior. That's not even a sermon, but might be one day. So the sermon, though, this is what I jotted down a while ago. Jennifer is either in my head for some reason, or I know what it is, it's the Holy Spirit, but I'm just teasing. Or she stole my notes, one or the other. So she's talking about, give thanks to God and stuff. Why don't my prayers get answered? You ever ask that question? Good, I'm glad you did. Turn to James chapter 4. I don't know if you remember, so I wasn't here last Sunday, but the Sunday before we was in James. We talked about the toe stumping book. So we're going to be in James chapter 4. And we will flip back to chapter 1 here in a little bit, too. By the time, when y'all looking that up, so Bobby had to go to a football game. By the time he arrived, the football game had already started. Why are you late? Asked his friend. I couldn't decide between going to church or going to the football game. So I tossed a coin, said Bobby. And his friend said, that shouldn't have taken that long to flip a coin. Well, I had to toss it 35 times. Now, I got a point to that. It's a joke. How often do we put church on the back burner? How often do we put church... what's the word I'm looking for? I just lost my train of thought. If it's convenient, something better comes up, we can go do something else. Okay? And I've been guilty of it before. So I'm not pointing a finger at you. But just think about why are you here today? Is it because it's the right thing to do? Remember, I'm kind of touching on religion a little bit because my mama told me to, which is good, get you a start. But why are you really here today? Do you want that relationship with Jesus Christ, the one that did it all for you on the cross? The only reason that you have a choice to make if you choose eternal life? A prayer life is pretty important. I say that lightly. It's real important. But you ever felt like your prayers don't get answered? We can kind of touch on that a little bit. And James chapter 4, verse 2. Daryl, I knew I'm out of order. You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, we're going to break all this down, and I'd love to tell you, if I want a lot of money, God, please give it to me in a briefcase to fall out of the sky. We ain't talking about that kind of action. So we're going to talk about what it really means to ask and receive, how things got to line up, okay? We're going to talk about that. Our prayers are not answered because they're unoffered, number one. First of all, you got to offer it. You got to ask for it. Now, I want you to think about this. It's kind of simple, but dig a little deeper into offering it. When you pray, are you going through the motions? Because you said the same prayer since you was a child or since you've been praying, and you're not expecting it to really happen. You ever had that thought? I'm just going to pray it, but you're not really in tune with God, really trying to line up with what he wants you to do. Matthew tells us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Offer up your prayers with a sincere heart and a genuine heart, Christ-like mind. If you don't have Christ, you can pray all you want. It's just some words. But you got to start. First of all, you got to make a choice. You got to have that relationship with Christ in your heart. Follow him. And we can talk, we can go on about that if we wanted to. But you got to follow Christ. I'll leave it at that. Follow Christ first. Have him in your heart. Then he tells you all this stuff that happened. James wrote it, which is the half-brother of Jesus. And Matthew tells us the same thing. Ask and you receive. But you got to offer it in a way where you got that relationship with him. The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but it's unoffered prayer. If you're in trouble, pray. That's the easy one. Lord, get me out of this jam I'm in, or whatever's going on. I think we're all good at that. Pray and pray specifically. Tell God what you need. Tell him what you want. Think of a child. All the parents out there. Did you always give the child everything he asked for, or she? Remember, God the Father, he knows. He's the big picture. He knows what's best for you and I because he created us. He knows everything about us. He knows what we need. And a lot of times we get crossed up on needs and wants. So if you're in trouble, pray. Pray specifically on what you need and what you want. If you're not in trouble, pray anyway. Don't minimize your prayer to only when I need you. When I need you, God. I need you right now, so let me pray. I get to say my favorite words here in a minute. Pray on a daily basis and saturate yourself in the Word of God. Stay in tune with him. You can't pray just when you need him and things go good for a few days and then you forget God. Don't work that way. Just think of a friendship with somebody. Any of y'all got friends? Maybe just me. You got friends? You got friends that just call you when they need something? Okay? Look, and God wants that relationship. He's not going to force you to follow him. He wants that genuine, real relationship. Pray when you feel like it, and pray when you don't. You ever struggle with prayer? The words just ain't coming to your head, and pray anyway. Hey, God knows all this stuff. He knows that you're not a machine, that you're not a robot. He knows that sometimes you're going to struggle in prayer. Sometimes the words just not going to come. He knows, you know, He knows. So pray, pray, pray every day. You know, I think we get in a habit sometimes, you know, the Lord's Prayer, we pray when we eat, we pray when we go to bed, at best. We pray when we get up sometimes. No, you don't have to close your eyes, bow your head, get on your knees every time. And also, me and Ozzy had this conversation the other day. Sometimes you need to get yourself, no, let me back up. A lot of times you need to get in that closet. And have that real prayer time. You know, we pray in church and in front of crowds and all that stuff, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want a real change, if you want that real relationship with God, you get one-on-one with Him. Wherever you got to get, whatever closet that is, or wherever, it don't have to be a closet, anywhere. Anywhere. Relationship, not religion. Sometimes our prayers are not answered. Y'all ready for this one? This was James, if it doesn't step in here. No, it ain't. Psalms. Unconfessed sins. You got to get yourself ready. Psalm 68:18 tells us, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Get those unconfessed sins taken care of. Offer it to God. Give it to Him. And then go to your prayer life. Proverbs tells us, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Like I said earlier, if you don't have Christ in your heart and you got the unconfessed sin, you can pray all you want. It ain't going to do you no good. Just ain't. You got to have yourself right. You got to be ready. But here's the good news. 1 John 1:9. A lot of y'all know that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He'll clean you up. He'll wash you up. Now you're ready to offer that prayer. Now you're ready to give it to God. What's confess mean? Squeal. I did it. I'm sorry I did it. I won't do it again. You learn from your mistakes. Remember, I'll say, I don't know how many times, I'll say it again. If you do the same thing over and over and over and expect a different result, that's insanity. You might need to do something. You might need to change what you're doing. You might need to change your habits. You might need to change your people you hang out with. We had that lesson before. And so it costs you to follow Christ. You're going to have to give up some stuff, including friends and family sometimes. And I will do this because I did that. That's when you confess. I will give it to God. I will clean up. I will change my ways. I'll move forward. Keep moving forward and never look back. Here's another one. Our prayers are not answered because of our unbelieving mind. So unoffered, unconfessed sins. Now, unbelieving minds. So what does that mean? You really mean it? You got doubt? When you pray it, all right, God, I want this, I need this. But He probably ain't going to do it, though. He might not. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. James chapter 1. 6-8. But when you ask, You must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. Pretty harsh words from James. You got doubt? Might as well not even pray. It's like the wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You don't know what way you're going. You don't know where you're headed. And don't expect to receive nothing. Get that undoubt, that doubtness out of your head. How you do that? Give it to God first. Give it to Christ. Because let me tell you a secret. It's not a secret. I just said that. You cannot do it. You can't get rid of your doubt. You can't clean yourself up. You can't get good enough. There ain't nothing you can do to deserve what Christ did for you on the cross. And He did it for you and I. Is there for you. And whatever that double-minded doubts, unconfessed sin, whatever that, I call it junk. Get that junk and put it at the foot of the cross. Give it to Christ. Get in that closet. Don't come out of it until He tells you to. And He will tell you and guide you what to do to it. It is impossible to please God without trusting Him. You got to trust Him. You may not understand the direction you're headed or know the destination, but God does. And that's where that faith comes in. Read Hebrews chapter 11. You know a story about faith. But you got to trust Him. It's easy to trust Him when things are going like you want it. To be honest, you probably don't even talk to Him until you need Him. And now you're trying to catch up. Now you're trying to bridge that gap that where you should have been all along. You and I got to stay in tune with Christ all the time, every day. More than every day, ever. Minute you could think of. Drive down the road and pray. Don't close your eyes. We got enough people out there. We don't need to be driving. But you can talk to God anywhere, anytime. Amen. Any place. He's there. You can talk to Him when you're in the bar. That wasn't funny. I scratched that off my list. All right. God is there. Okay, I just had a thought. He's there all the time. He never leaves. But guess where the problem is? With us. We're the one that separates ourselves from Him. He never went nowhere. The best way to pray wisely is by delighting ourselves in the Lord. What does that mean, John? Let me tell you. Glad you asked. Delight. Are you here because you... Well, I don't know because Charlie done told on y'all. And stuff. Are you here? Are you happy to be here? Or are you just here because... That's what you're supposed to do. Remember that religion thing I talked about earlier? Are you seeking a relationship with God? If you have a relationship with God, don't stop seeking Him. His advice, His love, stay in tune with Him. He got more than you can bear. Amen. And you can handle. You can't outdo Him. Delight yourself in His Word. That's a pretty good start there. Do you read on a daily basis? Do you read every day? Do you have to look? All the technology we got, we can read the Word anywhere, anytime. Okay? I'm going to take it a step further. Do you read, and do you have some of that right here? You can pull up Scripture in your head and throw it out at somebody if you need to. Delight in His Word, delight in His presence. Delight in His promises.
Amen.
And delight in His work. We don't like that word work. I've been waiting on this one, delight in work. So let me tell you something. God did not call you to sit on this bench and go home and do nothing else. Or pew. I said bench. It don't have to be nothing extravagant. You don't have to go to Africa and feed hungry kids. But God has a purpose for each and every one of you. And He wants you to take that and do something with it. Do something with it. There's a ton of people you can reach one way or another, however that may be. So delight in His Word. You got to stay in His Word. You got to know what His Word is first before you even know what you're delighting in. So you got to study His Word. You got to know what you're doing. You got to get in His presence, you got to know His Word and what He is and who He is. And you got, and His promises. He got to read this book, this Bible. There's a ton of promises. He keeps His promises. We're the disconnect. We're the short wire a lot of times. And then He wants us to work a little bit, do stuff. Now here's the big one. Our prayers are not answered because of unresolved conflicts. Mark tells us in chapter 11, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. What's Mark saying there? Why should I forgive you if you ain't willing to forgive somebody else? Don't hold those grudges. We all probably been hurt by somebody at some point, one way or other, or made you mad. We got to forgive them. And nowhere in here does it say it's going to be easy. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not. And He knows that. But guess how you can do it? Through Him. Like I said, remember, you can't do it. You can with Him. I always point to the cross. That's the reason I'm pointing on this way. Because you know He died on the cross for us, right? Okay. Trying to loosen y'all up a little bit. All right. God made it clear that our acceptance with Him is based solely on His work. He did it all. He did it for us at Calvary and our belief in His Son as the only hope for salvation. John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period. You know what that period means? That little dot? Means period. The end. No further. Nothing else. It's done. There's no other way. No other way. The Lord also told us in His Word that our fellowship with Him in prayer is conditional upon our relationship with others. Read chapter 5 of Matthew when you get a chance. If you want to know how you're supposed to live and walk and breathe with each other, just read some of His words in there, 5 verses 23 through 24 specifically. But you got to have a good working relationship. Now look, He don't say you have to like everybody. He said you got to love everybody. Love everybody. If somebody hurts you or whatever, you don't have to be best friends and hang out with them. He didn't say that. You got to forgive and you got to move on. So guess what you just did? When you forgive somebody that hurt you or vice versa, it's back on them now. You did your part. You're done. You move on. Some of the worst things we do and when we mess up or we don't forgive somebody is we dwell and stay in that pity party or whatever you want to call it. You stay and dwell in it. Get out of it. Give it to God to move on. He didn't design or created you to wallow around in your misery and your problems. He gave you a way to take care of it. And he wants you to do that. He wants you to move with it. Our prayers don't get answered sometimes because of our uncompassionate hearts. Proverbs 21:13 tells us, whoever shuts their ears to the city, to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. What does that mean? Help your neighbor. If someone needs assistance, we refuse them and we neglect them, we're violating our fellowship with God, and it blocks his answers to our prayers. You got to have compassion. You got to help people when they're in need, when they're down. Got another secret for you. At some point, if you hadn't yet, you're going to have a rough path. You're going to have some problems. Stuff to deal with. When it's somebody else's turn, that's when you reach out. Assist them, help them. Because one day you might need it. Or one day you will need it. Let me put it that way. I joke a lot about this last one about marriages. What's that got to do with prayer? So let me tell you. Believe it or not, my wife is instrumental in a lot of stuff that I do that you don't see. Y'all can probably, all the men in here can probably, if it's not true, say yes anyway. Okay? So there's what you see today up here, good or bad, is the finished product for that week. What you don't see is preparing to get to this point. Okay? And I'm not complaining. It ain't nothing bad. But it takes her with my back a lot. And to guide me, direct me. Don't do that again. Yeah. And stuff. So your wife, your partner, your wife or your husband is instrumental or should be instrumental in your relationship with God. If you have a wife or you have a husband. If you're single, you're okay too. But so our prayers don't get answered sometimes because of unhealthy marriages. Men, you know, what's that old saying? Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So if she ain't happy and I ain't happy, I ain't gonna be happy up here. Now, we all have, you know, you have spouts and little stuff, you know, going. But what I'm talking about overall and stuff is husband. It says first in 1 Peter chapter 3, it tells us, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect and as heirs of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So Peter tells us that. I didn't make this up. Peter tells us that our prayer will be hindered. Well, hopefully none of y'all need marriage counseling afterwards. That ain't what I'm leaning towards. I want to go eat my chicken here in a minute. Don't. I'm just kidding. If you need to talk to me, I don't want to talk to you. And look, this is what I like. Just think about something that you have. I don't know if you realize it. I didn't realize this. Didn't think about it. If you have a spouse, you're a step ahead of the game. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am with you. Matthew 18:20. If you and your wife, you and your husband are in sync together with your walk and your faith with Jesus Christ, and so if he's present, and he's going to be there, and you got that open communication to him with prayer. We need uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. I told you I went out of order a while ago for Daryl, so let me find my spot here. We're going to wrap this up here in a second. So our key verse, I usually do that first, but Psalms 86:5. This is about prayer. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Read that again. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call you. You got to do something. You have to make the first move. You got to call him. Like I said earlier, he is always there waiting on you. All you got to do is reach out to him. All this stuff we just read is unoffered prayers, unconfessed, unbelieving minds. Take all that junk, wad it up, and throw it underneath the foot of the cross, and you get on your knees and you pray to God for what you need at this moment in your life, good or bad, whatever it may be. I don't care if everything's going as good as you want it to go right now. You better thank God for it at the moment. And you give it to him. If you don't have a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a minute. He's everywhere. He can save you where you're sitting at, where you're standing, or if you come down here. If you feel led to come down here in a minute, when the musicians come forward, start playing a song of invitation here in a minute, it'll be your opportunity. Don't leave this house today, this building. We're the church. This is the church, the people. I'm looking at y'all. But if you want to be a part of a church and be a Christian, have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that did it for you, and you want that prayer life that you need, that you've been seeking for, now's the time to do it. If you do, if you are a Christian, you just remember these, only a few points I made about prayer. Clean it up. Get it out of there. If the request is wrong, God says no. You got to make the right request. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. Grow in him. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Just remember those. Everybody stand. We close with prayer. Dear Father, just thank you for this opportunity to hear your word today. Just take these few minutes, Lord. Just look inside our hearts, Lord. To get us cleaned up, let's give it to you. Just thank you for the many blessings you've done. And thank you for everything again, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.